Now, wait a minute, he said, looking alarmed. You can't use her that way. She's from the Archbishop's office, for God's sake. You'll have the new morality down on us. Melillo gave the media secretary a disgusted frown. Don't be a pansy, Larry. We've got to use the assets we have, and the Archbishop will agree with us once we explain it to him. The president said, You don't intend to hurt her, do you? Angelique realized they were talking about her as if she weren't in the room, as if she were an object, a possession, a chess piece in their game of power. Then Melillo smiled at her, and her blood ran cold. Hurt her? Of course not. Stoner won't let it come to that, will he, sister? Angelique found that she couldn't answer, couldn't speak. But in her mind one thought was racing around and around. Stoner won't let them hurt me. If he cares about me, he won't let them hurt me. If he cares about me. If he cares about me. Chapter 15. A marginally slimmer Archbishop Overmyer sat glumly in a power chair as it rolled down the long, dimly lit tunnel that connected the New Morality's enormous hospital complex with the other buildings of the sprawling campus. Ahead of him walked half a dozen Secret Service agents in their dark, tight-stretched suits, together with an equal number of New Morality security police in almost exactly the same garb. Behind the Archbishop was another small phalanx of security men and women. On one side of the Archbishop's chair strode Oscar Melillo, the president's chief of staff. On his other side was Sister Angelique. Overmyer thought the expression on her face might be how the early Christians appeared when they were being herded into the Colosseum to face hungry lions. Melillo leaned slightly toward the Archbishop as they strode along and said softly, I'm awfully sorry, Your Eminence, that we had to take you from your hospital room. Overmyer looked up at the round-faced chief of staff, thinking how glad he was to have a reason to leave the hospital and his grueling routine of exercise and Spartan meals. But he had no intention of allowing Melillo or anyone else to know that he was grateful for the excuse to return to his office. Power comes from holding others in debt to you, he told himself, not from letting them know they've done you a favor. Think nothing of it, Mr. Melillo, he said, smiling graciously and speaking loudly enough so that his voice echoed off the concrete walls of the tunnel. When my lord's duty summons me, I respond without question. Unconsciously touching the scar on his jaw with the tip of a finger, Melillo said, If you can't provide a secure place to hold Sister Angelique, the government has several facilities. That won't be necessary, Overmyer interrupted. The good sister is of our order, and we will provide for her. If it becomes necessary to, interrogate her, Melillo let his question hang in midair. We have the means to do that, the Archbishop replied. Then he turned to his other side. But you intend to be fully cooperative, don't you, sister? Of course, Your Eminence, said Angelique without hesitation. But she was thinking, Stoner won't let them harm me. He'll protect me. And when he does, I'll be able to get him to help me overcome this pompous fool of an Archbishop. Stoner expanded his awareness to search for Sister Angelique. She's a distraction, his wife warned. Stoner almost smiled. Neither of them was embodied at the moment. Don't tell me you're jealous, he said.
You haven't looked into her mind very deeply, have you? Joe asked.
Have you?
Yes.
Without her permission.
I'm not as fastidious about these things as you are, Joe said. Besides, I didn't have to go very deep to see that she's infatuated with you.
Stoner felt only mildly surprised. She's infatuated with the idea that she can control Archbishop Overmyer and through him gain control of the New Morality.
It's more than that, Joe countered. She's obsessed with the idea that through you she can gain control of the whole world.
That did astonish Stoner. He admitted, I thought Craig was the ambitious one.
Sister Angelique is more ambitious, Joe said. But like most primate females, she's been brought up to find an alpha male and use him to achieve her ambition. Be careful of her.
Stoner replied, I will be. But at this moment it looks as if she needs my help. Joe said nothing, but he sensed her disapproval. and he wondered what else his wife was doing without telling him. Like a wave of adulation, Archbishop Overmyer's staff people rose from their desks as he rode in his power chair past them toward his private office, with Melillo and Angelique trailing a few paces behind him. Overmyer smiled and nodded graciously to his people. None of them said a word, but Angelique could feel the warmth of their veneration. She knew that if the Archbishop wished it, they would drop to their knees and kiss his ring. Once ensconced behind his broad desk, Archbishop Overmyer said crisply to his phone computer, "Get Bishop Craig in here immediately."
"Immediately, Your Eminence," the phone replied.
Without being invited, Melillo took one of the comfortable chairs in front of the desk. Angelique remained standing, clasping her hands in front of her. With a jolt, she realized she was standing as if she were manacled. Melillo said, "This man Stoner told the president that you're going to withdraw the new morality support for the nuclear weapons program." Overmyer's face paled momentarily.
He showed me what a nuclear war would be like. It was terrible, soul-shattering.
"Yes," Melillo said, his voice hard. "He showed the president what he claimed to be a planet that was blasted down to bedrock by a nuclear war.
He has strange powers.
He knows some good tricks." Overmyer stared at the president's chief of staff.
"You don't believe he's telling us the truth?
The surest way for us to have a nuclear war is for us to give up our weapons and leave ourselves naked to our enemies," Melillo said. Angelique realized he had avoided answering the Archbishop's question. Looking troubled, the Archbishop said,
"I've prayed over this matter while in the hospital. I think..."
He hesitated, drew in a breath, then plunged.
"I think he might be right. Nuclear war is too terrible to contemplate."
"Sure it is," Melillo said. "He's counting on that. He wants us disarmed." Angelique realized that this round-faced man with a scarred jawline was the actual power in the White House. The president is just a figurehead, she thought, a pretty personality that can win elections. Melillo's the real strength in his administration. She spoke up.
"Stoner's trying to get the others to disarm, too. The Iranians, the Chinese."
Melillo's dark brown eyes focused on her. Angelique stared back at him, thinking that the last thing she wanted was to let this man believe she was afraid of him. At last, Melillo said, "All right. Suppose he really is a visitor from the stars, an extraterrestrial, an alien dressed up in human form."
"He says he's human, from Earth," Angelique countered.
"He says a lot of things. Did it ever occur to you that he wants us disarmed so that his alien race can take over our planet? Did it ever occur to you that our nukes are the only things standing between us and invasion by extraterrestrials?"
"I don't believe that," Angelique blurted.
Melillo turned to the Archbishop, who was looking at him intently.
"At the very least," Melillo continued, "this Stoner character wants to make big changes in the way we live. Big changes. The nukes are just his first step, I guarantee. Next thing you know, he'll want to dismantle the new morality and take over the government."
"Maybe he should," Angelique thought, but she stopped herself from saying it aloud.
The Archbishop asked,
"Do you actually think he wants to make himself our ruler?"
"Why not? Why else is he here?"
"The Antichrist," Overmyer whispered.
"Could be," said Melillo.
Angelique objected.
"No, he couldn't."
But the two men paid her no attention.
"We've got to stop him," Archbishop Overmyer said with a determination Angelique hadn't heard from him until now.
Melillo turned to Angelique.
"And you're going to be the bait for our trap."
She looked pleadingly to the Archbishop, but Overmyer spread his hands and said piously,
"God's will be done."
Angelique suddenly realized she was powerless and frightened.
"But what about the nuclear weapons?" the Archbishop asked.
Melillo said, "There's an old dictum. Use 'em or lose 'em."
"We should attack our enemies?"
"Before they hit us," Melillo answered.
"Only their nuclear facilities," said the Archbishop. "I won't countenance more casualties than absolutely necessary."
"Of course. I agree fully."
"Good."
The Archbishop nodded at Melillo, dismissing him. Melillo nodded back and grew.